Welcome back to the Banking on Digital Growth podcast. My name is James Robert Lay, founder and CEO here at the Digital Growth Institute, where we are on a mission to help financial brands stop losing loans and deposits. Before we get into today's discussion, if you are on a marketing team, a sales team, a leadership team at a bank, credit union, or fintech, I want to invite you to join over 300 other growth-minded leaders in the digital growth community who are learning, connecting, and growing together. You can become a member in less than 60 seconds when you visit www.digitalgrowth.com/membership. Digitalgrowth.com/membership. Joining me for today's conversation is Audrey Cannata, operations lead here at the Digital Growth Institute. And today we are going to talk through a transformative strategic thinking framework that we've been teaching financial brand leaders to help them rethink how they operate as individuals, as a team, even as an organization. And as a result, this strategic thinking framework has helped unlock new growth potential. Welcome to the show, Audrey. I am so happy to talk through this with you today because it's important to consider who's on your team.
Yes, it is. I'm excited too.
And before we get into this framework about thinking who is on your team to help your team as a leader, what is going well for you right now? What is good in your world personally or professionally?
So I think on a personal note, and I always love hearing about what your kids are doing and their activities, but my two kids, they're elementary school right now. They're working on a fundraiser. They're doing a fun run tomorrow where they've had to raise dollars for every lap that they run. And they've been so excited about this. What I think is so great is that they know what this fundraiser is for. Their school is trying to get new gym equipment. And so they're coming home every day and they're like, Mom, we've raised this much now. We've raised that much now. And they're excited about it. And I think it's beautiful. Number one, you're kind of building in that, the exercise piece to it, but also, they're working for something that's greater than them. And they know that it's, for the common good of their school. And so I think I love these kind of fundraisers that really show them, this working together.
Well, this idea of working together is a great way to think about today's conversation because it is about connection. Growth comes from connection. Growth comes from collaboration. And collaboration is different than cooperation. Cooperation means you work well together, and cooperation is required for collaboration, but collaboration means you're co-creating together. And we have to be mindful of who's on our team when we're collaborating. I recently facilitated a coaching session for a financial brand where I shared this framework of thinking about who's on your team. Team's an acronym that we're going to get into in just a bit, but one of the team members that was at this financial brand, they sent me an email that I wanted to share for some context. And I'm going to quote them. They wrote, quote, "I wanted to share a takeaway from our meeting that really stuck with me. It's about boundaries." And the quote, "When we compromised, we are compromised. I totally agree when it comes to our personal boundaries, whether they're physical, emotional, or moral. I've never heard it put that way before, but I think it's a great reminder of why boundaries matter. If you've set one, there's probably a good reason for it. In my opinion, it's better to stick to it than to compromise and risk getting hurt," end quote. So because we're talking about teams here and the framework team, why are boundaries important to think about, particularly now that we're in this age of AI and we can work anywhere we want, when we want, how we want? But what's the role of boundaries here?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think you're right. And where we are now with a lot of this remote work and the capabilities that we have, there's a lot of gray area. There's a lot of bleeding over, you know, personal, professional. You know, things aren't as black and white as they were, you know, before. And I know just for me personally, not being in an office, say 8 to 5 or whatever it is. And so I think you have to be even more disciplined to set these boundaries and not compromise. And this has been on the personal professional side, this has been a struggle for me. For me personally, is I found myself either giving, you know, when I give more to one side, the other side is compromised, and vice versa. And really trying to find a healthy balance has been a struggle.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons, you know, we define exponential growth here at the Digital Growth Institute as when an individual or a team or an organization is growing personally and professionally together. You're like, well, how is an organization growing personally together? Well, consider the fact that your organization is made up of teams, which is made up of individuals, and those individuals, they want to have that perception that they are growing personally, that they are growing professionally. And the idea of work-life balance, I think, whether remote, in office or hybrid, is still, it's extremely complex, if almost not even impossible, because yes, you might work in an office, but are you bringing your work home? Oh, well, I'm not bringing my work home. My work stays at the office. Well, what about in your mind? And vice versa. Are you bringing your home to the office? And I appreciate what you're sharing through your own personal experience here, because, you know, we are in kind of a hybrid remote environment ourselves. How do you create healthy boundaries to ensure that you have a good team? And what does that mean? This idea of team being the acronym of TEAM, because it is a strategic thinking framework that can help set healthy boundaries.
Yeah. So TEAM is an acronym. It stands for time, energy, attention, and money. So we're looking at, how are you investing your time? How do you spend your energy? What are you paying attention to? And how all of those together then impact and influence your relationship with money. So back to your question on creating, was it creating the boundaries?
It's creating, it's using this type of a framework to begin to create healthy boundaries, because we are working towards exponential growth, growing personally, growing professionally. We do know that when we're struggling personally, it can impact us professionally. Yeah. When we're struggling professionally, it can impact us personally. But these questions of time, energy, attention, how you're investing time, how you're spending energy, what are you paying attention to? Those will go on to really impact and influence the relationship that we have, even within our own financial lives.
Yeah, I think for me was really kind of doing, getting some awareness on, and we'll just start with time. I think time is probably the biggest one, the easiest one to really look at and assess, because, I mean, you can track your days, your week, and you can see where you're spending or where you're investing your time. And for me, for a while there, the personal and professional balance, I was getting a little burned out and I was getting stressed out and felt like I wasn't giving 100% in either area. And so when I really looked back and did an assessment of where am I investing my time, I realized there were a lot of things or people that I was investing time into that were actually taking away from, and for me, my priorities at the time were, you know, my children, being a good mother, and my role here. And I started to realize that there were other things that I was investing my time in that were negatively impacting. And so I had to really do an assessment. Are these things that I need in my life that I need to be doing? Are these things that I want to be doing? Am I doing these things because I want a distraction. Because I want to escape maybe.
Yes.
And so I had to really kind of get real with myself. And I made the commitment just about this time last year. And I said, if it's not moving me forward to be a better parent or a better employee, then I needed to cut it or make a pause or just really be careful about when I invest my time in those things. And, you know, I've had to let some relationships go a little bit in my life, but I've had to be okay with that.
I want to really surface this idea of time being viewed as an investment.
Yeah.
Because I think we've all grown up saying and hearing you're wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the best way to spend your time. But time being viewed as an investment versus an expenditure, what's the difference here for consideration?
I think it depends. It's what you're getting out of it. It's what's coming out of that. When you're investing your time, there's a return on that in some way. When you're wasting it, that's, you know, those are just those fleeting moments where you look back and you're like, well, what did I get out of that? Just a personal example for me is television. You know, I have cut out a lot of unnecessary television watching and like reality show watching. But I've started to kind of flip my thinking on it though, because look, there's nothing wrong with just relaxing and, you know, sitting on the couch for a little bit and indulging in a show, whether or not maybe it's stupid or not, getting your mind off of things. But I've started to kind of think and be a little bit more strategic about what I am watching. Mm. So that it does feel more like an investment. And so a perfect example is my daughter. She's gotten into those like reality competition shows like Survivor and Big Brother. And so we'll watch one of those in the evening together. And for me, it's an investment for two reasons. I'm spending time with my daughter and we're bonding, but also it's become a big teaching experience. Mm. So we talk a lot about different types of people and the world and how to treat people, because we'll see things on the show and we'll have conversations about it. So now it's not like, oh, I'm being lazy and I'm just watching some dumb reality show. It's no, we're getting something out of this time.
Yeah. One of the things I often hear from individuals or leaders on a team that we're working with, and specifically when it comes to the Digital Growth Blueprint, and I share findings and recommendations, they say, James, Robert, that's a great idea, but we don't have time for that.
Yeah. And you know what that's code for? It's not a priority.
Mm. Why? And there goes time being an investment, because what we invest with our time today has the potential to be a massive payoff going forward into the future. The books, for example, Banking on Digital Growth, Banking on Change specifically, that was a massive investment of time, even more so than the first book.
Yeah.
What prevents us from making investments of time into something that we might not see an immediate payoff in the present moment? Because I'm surfacing this because this model of really asking who's on your team, I think could become a key coaching framework, not just internally for financial brand teams, but for those who also work with account holders to facilitate a conversation here. Because when we think about time being an investment, we just think about investment strategy as a whole. We know that investing for the future is challenging because we're having to invest for a future at the cost of a present, we'll say dopamine hit, for lack of a better word, for like a present day win.
Yeah, instant gratification. I mean, we live in an instant gratification world where we've got so many things at our fingertips whenever we want. And it takes so much discipline to play the long game, to put in the work today, knowing that you may not see the payoff or the results for days, weeks, months, years, even.
One of the things that shapes my belief system now and my behavior is to consider playing a game in decades. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about the arc span of life, historically, we're lucky to get 80 years, which is only 8 decades. That's not a lot of time in reality, in the grand scheme. It's also too, like, when I think, you know, when our kids were small, time like crawled, like
the days
are long, but the years are short. And now with the kids being 13, 11, 9, and 7, and everyone's about to age up and be 14, 12, 10, and 8, I'm understanding what that means more than what I could perceive when they were 5,
yeah,
3, 1, and a newborn. It was like, good gosh, can we just get out of this stage? But it was almost to a detriment as well, because not being fully present in that moment, thinking that it's going to get better in the future. How do we reconcile that conflict? Because it's my hope, for me personally, I can go from 8 decades and get to 15 decades with longevity and life extension. And I know some people are like, why would you want to live that long? Well, I love life. I love the shared experiences in creating and connecting with people. I mean, I'm very hopeful and optimistic for the future. In fact, we yeah, really do live in the best time ever, with all of the conflict, with all of the chaos going on. We still get to go to the grocery store, yeah, pick up food.
Perception. Yeah,
it is. And
yeah,
there's a book that I just started reading. I've recommended to you, The Comfort Crisis.
Yes.
And the subtitle of the book is to embrace discomfort to reclaim your wild, happy, healthy self. And maybe this concept of time, to the point, I don't have time, he says, code for priority, but it's also maybe we don't want to feel uncomfortable. And so we just going to do what we want to do right now, even at the cost and expense of what could potentially be an even bigger and better, brighter future.
Yeah, taking the easy way out, avoiding the conflict, avoiding the avoiding being uncomfortable. You know, this is a hard one, I think, for a lot of people to understand and then make adjustments in their life. It's hard to see it until you kind of make it through that, like, first grind, and you start to see a little bit of the results. And then you're then, you know, motivated a little bit more to know that, you know, things take time, play the long game. It's having that, I guess, faith and that trust that your future is going to be better, brighter, if you put in the work and the uncomfortable. I mean, being uncomfortable, I've had to get really used to this. Being uncomfortable is a part of life. It's a part of change. Change of any type, good or bad, yeah, is going to be uncomfortable naturally. And that physically, your body responds to change, good or bad. And I think as soon as we can recognize that, and like for me, it's like, okay, I'm supposed to be feeling this way. I don't feel good. I feel uncomfortable, but this is how it's supposed to be. I have to get through this to get to the other side.
So practically speaking, what are ways that we can increase the investment of our time so that we can increase the return of our time?
Well, I love, you know, just getting creative and multitasking. I mean, I gave the example earlier of how I feel better about spending an hour watching reality TV that makes me feel like I'm getting something out of it. You know, when you're exercising, you, James Robert, I know when you go running in the morning, you're listening to a podcast,
and or you're getting texts. And you're getting texts.
Yeah, I'm getting texts in real time. I know exactly when you're running, because I'll get a text update of this is what I just learned. And so you're able to do those things, you know, together in tandem, where you may not have time to just sit and listen to a podcast and do nothing. I know for me, that's my Saturday morning. And that I sent you that podcast the other day that I listened to, and I cleaned my whole house to it. And it was like, I got so much energy because I was able to, I'm learning something. I'm also getting stuff done around my house. So I think a lot of it's getting creative and also gaining confidence. And this is where it comes, like, in your team or in your organization, is having the confidence to speak up and say, this may not be a good use of my time.
Yeah.
This meeting that we're having, do I need to be in this meeting? Can this be an email? It's feeling comfortable to speak up. And you and I have been able to do that. Just the other day, we were trying to get something done and we were like weighing the cost. Okay, we could outsource it and it'll cost this much and maybe take this much time, or we could do it internally and probably get it done in a quarter of the time. And so I think having those conversations and assessing where you're spending your time.
What about, I think an unseen element here. And I know that we recently touched on this, talking about four distinct days or ways to block time are important. Time blocking.
Yeah.
Switching cost. What do we need to be mindful of there?
Yeah, I think time blocking, it's really efficient. Just being okay and saying this hour or this afternoon or this day, I'm just going to focus on this and nothing else. There is a major switching cost that I don't think we really understand. And I mean, even still, like, I have to constantly remember, if I stop, every time I stop to do something else, and that's, I will say, that is probably my, something that I've had to work on, is I try to multitask, because for me, like, everything's a priority. And so I'm constantly trying to get things done and I shift from one thing to the other. But every time you do that, it's the mental load that it takes to shift from one thing to the other, you're going to lose time. Then you're not going to be performing as well, because you're having to shift gears really quickly. And so I think.
But I want to pause you for a minute, because you just mentioned multitasking before, and I think there's a clear delineation and a distinction here. What you were referencing with your experience of watching a show with your daughter and facilitating a conversation, I don't see that as multitasking, or for me, running and listening to a podcast, that's not multitasking. That's
what would you call that?
Time hacking, maybe.
Time hacking, okay.
Because we're getting a multiplier of time. We're increasing the return on time for a said activity. I'm taking care of my body on the run, but I'm also feeding my mind as well and continuously learning there. You're,
like,
you're pouring into your daughter, investing into her and your relationship through the dialogue and the discussion that comes from what you're watching. So it's no longer just, you're just not consuming, but then you're facilitating and discussing. So you're time hacking on that, because to your point on the switching cost, there's some really compelling research of how much switching costs are actually costing us.
Yeah. there's an analogy real quick before you give the data that I love. I think it was in, I think it was Donald Miller maybe, that he used switching costs, the analogy of getting on and off the freeway. That every time you get over, if you think about that, switching, cutting over, you know, the lanes, getting on the feeder road, and then getting back on, that's your switching costs.
Coming to the research here, it takes over 20 minutes to get back on track after a task is interrupted.
Yep.
And according to psychologist David Meyer, shifting between tasks can cost us up to 40% of our productive time. Now, if you come back, think about that. When we think about switching costs, and it can take over 20 minutes to get back on track once a task is interrupted, how much time are we losing during the day as an individual, as a team, as an organization, because of systems and processes that no longer serve us? And this comes back to the four different types of days or time blocks that we were talking about in our previous conversation. This is where things like race days and pace days, we get on the same page, we speak a common language, and we limit the interruptions that would pull us off track, that would pull us off focus. We have a higher propensity to get into a deeper level of flow state.
Right. And this is where batching comes in too.
True.
We do a lot of batching with our work. Well, we'll put all our meetings back to back to back on one day versus sporadically here and there, because we know the switching costs. So if there's something, and for me, when I was cranking out content, batched it all and just spent one, you know, day, portion of the day, just doing the repeated content pieces that would last me for the next 2-3 weeks.
Well, case in point, even these podcast conversations, we batch a 3-hour block of time.
Yep.
Because this is our sole focus. And I think this is a great example of an exponential return on time, because these 30-40 minute discussions then yield different types, different pieces of content that we are able to share to help others, to guide others, regardless of if we work with them or not. And we have seen, you know, 3-minute video clips on LinkedIn get 20, 25 hours of view time.
Yeah.
That's how much time was invested, if you will, not 25 hours. That's a 10X. I got to reframe my thinking on this, and I can't do the math right now, but that is a exponential multiplier of taking a 30-40 minute conversation. So maybe an hour of our time for the discussion there. That's a great way to say it. Let's just say it's an hour of our time here. You've now elevated the production to our team internally. Let's just say there's an hour or two there. So there's 3 hours of time that goes into one of these podcasts. But then that little 3-minute video clip gets, make math easy, 20 hours of view time, 3 hours of total time to get 20 hours of view time. Well, that is it's a 6X multiplier, more than a 6X multiplier, almost a 7X multiplier of time right there. And that's just for one small clip, which can then be extrapolated over and over and over again. And it's just a different way of thinking.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but this podcast is a great example of energy, how we're spending our energy. And for me, batching these recordings has saved my energy, because we talked a lot about Colby. I'm a resistant quick start. So, and just to be quite honest, and I think many of our listeners already know this, these conversations, they take a lot of energy from me, whereas you get energy out of these. And so before we would record one episode, you and I would, and then be done for the day. But I knew though, after we recorded for the following at least hour, I would have to shut down, quiet my mind a little bit before I could proceed with the rest of the day, because I needed that time to recover my energy. But when we've batched them, and let's say we go back to back to back, I still need that time. We're still going to hit the record button, shut it off, and I'll still need some time to recover, but it's once.
Right.
Instead of three different times, different days.
On that note, today's conversation, we really went deep into just the first element of asking the question of who is on your team. We've focused specifically on time. For the sake of your energy and those that are watching and listening, I'm thinking that we can probably do an even deeper dive into the other elements of energy, attention, and then how all of that will impact the relationship that we have with money. And so why don't we wrap up here and just focus the thoughts around the question, how are you investing your time? Then we can come back and really frame the discussion around how are you spending your energy, because energy is finite. And you're already alluding to that here, which is going to be a great segue into the next discussion here. Then we can tag in, what are you paying attention to? Which is for me a personal favorite, because we are in an attention economy, and what you pay attention to is directly going to impact how you spend your energy and how you invest your time. And then we'll come back and all of this then reconnects into what's your relationship with money, which is, I think, the deeper question, this, how all of these impact, how all of these influence relationship with money, which is something that I know is our deeper purpose here, is through our collaborations with financial brands to help them stop losing loans and deposits. They can get 1 billion people beyond financial stress by increasing their financial confidence so that they can get to an even better future. So as we wrap up, thinking about this idea of investing time as an investment, particularly when time feels thin, it can feel short. We do hear people say, I don't have time. But to your point, that's code for it's not a priority.
Yep.
What's your recommendation to practically apply and take some action around what we've discussed here today so that those who are watching, those who are listening, can move forward and make progress on their journey of growth?
Well, I'm going to take your words and look for some ways that you can hack time. Time hacking. It's one of my favorite things to do. I don't know why. It's like a game to me. It's like, how can I get more out of this hour? Look at your calendar. Look at your schedule. What are some ways that you can hack time a little bit? Really, really see that exponential return on your time.
Time hacking. I think it's very important. Like you said, how can I maximize this hour? One of the things that I know that you and I have been doing, and I've been getting into a habit of, is getting real clear of what the big three goals that we have for the day are, because that then creates a North Star for the day. Without that North Star, I am just like a ship without a sail, floating aimlessly on the sea of life. Yeah, exactly. And it's when I get clarity and then I even text you what my big three for the day are, there's a level of accountability. But being very mindful of not just time hacking, but looking for ways to eliminate multitasking and the lies and the fallacy of multitasking, when in fact that's actually,
it's a dangerous place to be.
And it can be very, very costly. It can be very, very expensive. And we want to prevent that. And so, that's a great way to wrap things up today. Audrey, this has been a fantastic and fun conversation. As always, I appreciate you.
Yes, thank you.
As always, for those watching and listening, be well, do good, be the light. We'll see you soon.